Thank you, praise team, for being with us and setting the stage, so to speak, for us week after week. I, too, like Pastor Charles, want to welcome you this morning. I was thinking this week of all the people, of all the places that join us, and I'm so thankful to see faces here. It's just, it's been really, really weird with an empty sanctuary for over 2 months. And so I'm so thankful to see some faces here. But I also was thinking about this week as people contact us through the Facebook page of all the places where you're joining us from, and we want to say thank you for joining us. Whether that's as close as the care center right here at Staples, we welcome you. We're glad you are joining us. Or as far away as Kentucky or Oregon or Canada or Iowa or many, many other places, thank you for joining us on Sunday mornings to worship the Lord. You that are joining us online, you can't see the rear part of the church this morning. You can see the front part. But someday when you come back and join us, those of you that can, you will see there's a nice new clock in the back. Now, I'm not sure what that clock is for, except I've been having trouble getting done on time. And perhaps that great big digital clock is for Jim's benefit as much as anybody else. Perhaps, Jim, you could get done on time if you can see the clock better. I don't know. But you'll see there's a nice new clock there someday when you come back. I'm glad that you're here with us. And so I want to pray too. Charles mentioned Teresa Roll, and if you have a chance to look at that prayer focus, you'll see a lot of names on there, a lot of cancer, and a lot of difficulties. And I would just ask, please keep praying for these families. They so long for your prayers. And so we're praying for you, we're praying for them, we're praying for this COVID-19 thing to kind of get spent and be gone. As Charles mentioned, we're working on the reopening process. We do not have a date picked to open up the church yet, but we're going to come back to worship. We're going to come back in the corporate worship sooner than later now. It may look different when you get here. There may only be half the chairs in the sanctuary so we can social distance. But we're going to come back together here in the very near future. So we will send you that information as it comes to us, and we approve it and get it ready. We're going to get it to you. We want you to be informed. We want you to be with us here again. But thank you for being with us on Facebook Live today, and thank you for coming, those of you that are here this morning. Before we go any further, let's pray. Father, we are grateful for the freedoms that we enjoy in America. And over the last couple of months, we've had some of those seemingly less available. And so with the Memorial Day weekend coming upon us, and it won't be long, and the Independence Day holiday will be upon us, and we're reminded, Father, of all the beautiful things that we enjoy in America, the freedoms to go to the store, the freedoms to go to school, the freedoms to go to work, the freedoms to go to church. And yet, over the last couple of months and more, some of those freedoms haven't been realized the way we are used to. And I just thank you, Father, again for America. And I believe that we will enjoy the bounty and the beauty and the freedoms of America again. And I pray that we can fling wide the doors of our churches soon and welcome people that want to worship you corporately to come and worship you corporately again. I know it's going to happen, Lord. You know it's going to happen. I pray that you would give us the wisdom and the direction to know when. We want people to be safe. We really do. But we also want to be able to come together to worship in a safe manner as soon as we can. I pray for the sick today, Lord. We've been adding to that list. I pray for them. Cancers, all kinds of illness, depression. I've even heard of suicide again in the last couple weeks. There's heaviness about us, Lord. We need you. And so we lift these friends, these family, these neighbors up to you that are hurting in many ways. Many ways they're hurting. We lift them up to you, Father, and say, please take care of them. Please watch over them. Please comfort those that are unable to get out and have people come and see them. Please guide and direct and heal and strengthen those with cancers. Please encourage those that are depressed. Please, Father, be with the church and help us to have wisdom from you to know how to minister and go forward in this pandemic. I do pray, Father, again this morning. It's almost the end of the school year. And I pray for our students. I pray that you would help them to finish strong. I pray for those that are graduating that you would help them to have some kind of celebratory means of just being reminded they're graduates. But we pray for all of these and so much more this morning, Father, knowing that you already know all these things, and we lift them up to you and say and pray like we pray, like Jesus taught us, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. And so thank you for being with us this morning, Father. Thank you for being with those churches that are open right now and they're meeting in parking lots and they're meeting in sanctuaries. It's starting to happen. Be with each and every one of them too. And thank you for everyone that's joined us on Facebook Live this morning. Bless each and every one. Draw us close to you and help us, Father, to be the people of God that you would have us to be. I pray this in all things in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the later later chapters of Jeremiah this morning. This story in chapter 42, 43, and 44, it's a long story, and so I'm going to try to keep it brief. I'm going to give you a little bit of verses from each of those three chapters and just continue to paint a picture. But before I go there, let me just say this. Please listen to me for a second. And perhaps if you don't hear anything else today, I'd encourage you, please hear this. The message that Jeremiah spoke to the Jewish people of that day, and we have it recorded, we call it the Book of Jeremiah. It's a good book. But the message that Jeremiah spoke to those people that day in those 40 years was offensive. It was offensive to them for lots of reasons. We've talked about some of those. But among other reasons, one of the reasons they thought everything was fine, and God was trying to tell them, it's not fine, friends. And so the message that Jeremiah conveyed got him in trouble, got him in prison, got him in the dungeon, almost got him killed. But the message to the people of that day was offensive to them. Why do I say that? Well, because the same message is offensive to us today. For the same reasons, I suppose. They didn't like the message. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to believe what Jeremiah was saying. Because they thought in their own hearts and their own minds, everything was well. It was okay with them and God. And so the message that he conveyed to them, they didn't like it. They didn't like the message, and so consequently, they didn't like the messenger. And the same message for us today to repent, turn to God, or turn back to God can also be offensive. It can be a message that's hard to hear. and hard to accept. The reason that I have shared this series is because of the statistics that I continue to see about the condition of the church. I could be wrong. The statistics could be wrong. I wish they were. I wish I was. But there's too many statistics in America today that talk about the condition of the church. It is in serious trouble. And friends, if that message in itself is not one you want to hear, I can't help that. All I'm asking you to do the research like I do, Charles and I do, and many, many other people do. Many people that sit here, they do the research, they see what's happening, they read the polls, they talk to people, they listen, they write, they read. The American church is in trouble. If those statistics, I said this last week, I'll say it again, are anywhere near close to right, the American church is in trouble. And I realize if we're sitting in churches and thinking all is well, this message will be offensive. I get it. I get that. But it is in Jeremiah's effort and mine to bring enlightenment to people, whether we're online, whether we're here, or whether we're just somewhere that might hear the message from Jeremiah. Our effort, mine, Jeremiah's, and other pastors, is to make sure that we, if we sit in the church or we don't, are right with God. To make sure. We just sang it two or three times in this chorus. We talked about surrender. We sang that chorus several times in this last song to make sure we have surrendered everything to Jesus, because they thought all was well at that time. And unfortunately, all over America, we think the same thing today. All is well. And God said to them, it's not well, folks. It's not well. And that is my intent, to reiterate to us, is it well with our soul? Are we just going through some religious motions? That's what they were doing. They didn't tear down the temple. The temple was still there. They still had a belief in the heavenly God. But idolatry and pride and greed and a multitude of things had taken them away from God. And God sends these people like Jeremiah and says, people, I'm telling you, you've got to repent and come back to me, or it's going to be too late. And so I know that message can be offensive, but it is an effort to help folks in and out of the church for me to convey, we all have about so much time. And time's going to be over. And to know about God in our mind and never have been born again and we die, it will be too late. To be sitting in the church houses of America, 54% in that survey said people are sitting in the church houses of America but haven't been born of God. Have a belief in God but haven't been born again. That's why I convey the message. That's why Jeremiah conveyed the message. There's a whole lot of people thinking all is well. And God said to Jeremiah's time, and I believe, brothers and sisters, he's saying to the church today, it's not well. That's why, in humility and love, convey this message to us. Is it well with your soul? Have you been born of God? Are you walking with Jesus? Have you, like we just sung, surrendered? I believe God will give us wake-up calls. The Bible's full of it. Old and New Testaments, both. God has warned the church over and over and over, Old and New Testament both. If you haven't been reminded, look at Revelation 2 and 3. He warned the church, repent and come back to me or else. My intent for this series, we've got just a little ways to go. This one today from Jeremiah and a couple more from Ezekiel, because Ezekiel is already in Babylon. When we get to Jeremiah 42, 43, and 44, where we're going to be today, Ezekiel is already in Babylon, and Ezekiel has been given a word by God to tell these Jewish people who thought all was well, even when they're in captivity. So we're going to look at the series just a little bit longer. My intent for the series is to invite people in and out of the church. Are we right with God? Are we listening to His Word? Are we listening to the Spirit of God? When we started this series, I suggested that perhaps if you had time, you could also read the book of Jeremiah again and be familiar with it. And if you have, you will see that we get to a point and destruction happens. I mentioned to you over the course of this series that Jeremiah's ministry was essentially from 627 B.C. to 586 B.C. If you know some about biblical history, you know that in 586 B.C., the temple was destroyed, the walls tore down, the city of Jerusalem burned. Captives either killed by the sword, and God said this over and over and over, killed by the sword, starved, pestilence, or carried away captive. And so in 586, Jerusalem as a city was no more. And so the story that I'm going to pick up today from Jeremiah 42, 43, 44 in that area, it's a story, it's a little longer story, but I have a point that I want to try to make to you. Again, humbly and respectfully in love, I want to make a point to us about the conditions of the heart in that time. And I wonder sometimes if our heart's condition collectively is not similar. So, I'm going to give you just a tiny bit more background, then we're going to look at some scripture, and I'm going to do a fair amount of reading because I want you to see the story. It's parts of three chapters. Jerusalem has been crushed. Nebuchadnezzar has come and carried them away. They're gone as captives. They're gone as slaves. When we get to Jeremiah at this point, Jerusalem is no more. Nebuzaradan, you'll see that name as you read through there, the commander of the imperial guard, this is Nebuchadnezzar's right-hand man, his name is Nebuzaradan, he releases Jeremiah. God had favored Jeremiah. And so Nebuzaradan, the commander of the imperial guard, releases Jeremiah after Jerusalem has been squashed, burned, the walls and the temple tore down. Jerusalem is no more. And Jeremiah is getting along in years now and probably should have legitimately gone with the rest of the slaves, the 250-mile walk to Babylon. But Nebuzaradan, by the grace of God, comes to Jeremiah and he gives him a choice. You can stay here if you want. And so Jeremiah and a few of the poorest of the poor remained there in Israel. And so when you read chapters 40 and beyond, Jeremiah is now starting to talk to and minister to some of those that were in country, so to speak, that weren't in Jerusalem and weren't in the siege and didn't get killed or carried away. There are a few people scattered around in country, and they begin to approach Jeremiah. And so now from these chapters on, he's starting to speak to those few people that are left. In chapter 40, the Jewish leader, Gedaliah, you can read this in 40, we're not going to refer to it, whom Nebuchadnezzar had put in charge, or he said, okay, I'm leaving a few folks here, I need somebody in charge, you take care of the vineyards and make sure everything just doesn't go to the dog, so to speak. So he leaves and puts Gedaliah in charge of the Jewish remnant. There's a few poor folks and a few old folks left, and he gets murdered. There's a few rabble-rousers still around the country, and they come and murder him. The Jewish remnant that are still around then assume, okay, we've murdered this man, this guy that Nebuchadnezzar put in place, so now we better get out of Dodge. We better go to Egypt for our protection. Hopefully Pharaoh and the Egyptian army can take care of us there. And so we should inquire of Jeremiah and say, Jeremiah, you pray, and this is where we'll pick it up in Jeremiah 42, you pray to God and find out if that's what we really should do. That's the setting of today's story. Jeremiah 42. Now all the captives of the forces, Johanan, the son of Kareah, Jezaniah, the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet. These are people that were just still scattered around after Jerusalem has been squashed. They're also the ones that killed Gedaliah. Here's what they said. Please let our petition be acceptable to you and pray for us to the Lord our God. No, to the Lord your God, excuse me, for all this remnant, since we are left but a few of many, as you can see, that the Lord may show us the way in which we should walk and the thing which we should do. That's a good request. Jeremiah, call upon God for us and find out what we're supposed to do. That's a good thing. We should be doing that too. Verse 7, same chapter. And it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and he called Johanan, the son of Kareah, and the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him. If you will still remain in this land, they're still in Israel. If you will still remain in this land, then God is saying to these Jewish people, I will build you and not pull you down. There's a remnant still there. God said, I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I relent. Look at what God said. I am sorry. I relent concerning the disaster that I have brought upon the children of Israel. Jerusalem is no more. It's burned down. It's tore down. It's a mess. And God says further, do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, says the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show you mercy that he may have mercy on you and cause you to return to your own land. You see, I said this last week. God, in fact, has their best interest in mind. He's got our best interest in mind. But he gave him a choice. He gave him another choice. He's asking us to choose him, to follow him. And when we don't, I said this for the last 2 weeks, I'll say it again, it's not going to go well. He's given him a choice. He said, I want to build you up. I want to protect you. I will keep Nebuchadnezzar at bay. I can take care of that guy. You trust me on this one. I'll take care of you. Verse 13. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, if you say that, disobeying the voice of the Lord, saying, no, we're going to go ahead and go to Egypt, where you shall see no war. In their mind, they'll say, I'm going to Egypt. There won't be any war there. There won't be any sword there. There won't be any famine there. The Pharaoh, the nation, the land, they'll take care of us. And God is saying, but if you choose to do that, verse 15, then hear now the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord God, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your face to enter Egypt and go there to dwell, then it shall be that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine which you were afraid of shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and you shall die. So shall it be with all the men who set their faces to go to Egypt to dwell there, they shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the disaster that I'll bring upon them. There's the answer. Stay here, and I'll take care of you. Do your own thing, and it's not going to go well. There's the answer all over again for his people. Verse 19, the Lord has said concerning you, O remnant of Jacob, do not go to Egypt. Chapter 43, I got to fast forward here. I can see that big old clock on the back wall. Chapter 43, now it happened when Jeremiah had stopped speaking to all the people, all the words the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, all these words that Azariah, the son of Hashabiah, Johanan, the son of Kareah, that's the same two guys that were before us in the other chapter, and all the proud men said to Jeremiah, you're speaking falsely. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, do not go to Egypt and dwell there. Are you kidding me? That's the hardness of the heart. He gives us a choice, and we want to choose what we want. I will take care of you here. If you choose to go to Egypt, it's not going to go well. Jeremiah has been telling them that for 40 years. Keep doing your own thing, and it's not going to go well for you, people of God. And in verse 43, or chapter 43 of Jeremiah, these men come back to Jeremiah and say, you're lying to us. You're lying to us. You didn't hear from God. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, do not go to Egypt to dwell there. So they went to the land of Egypt, for they did not obey the voice of the Lord. You see, today, friends, even in the church, we have the choice to really be born of God, to really follow him, or just know about him. They knew about him. We have a choice. Am I going to get serious with Jesus? Am I going to be born again? Am I going to surrender everything to Jesus? Am I going to be led by the Holy Spirit of God and try, with the Holy Spirit's leading and the direction of the Word of God, to follow Jesus? That's a choice he gives us today. He doesn't bind us up and drag us around and say, you have to do this or have to do that. He gives us a choice to choose to follow him. And he tells us over and over and over in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, follow me and it'll be fine. It'll go well. It won't be perfect because you're not in heaven. But I will take care of you. You do your own thing and it's not going to go well. So now, as you read through Jeremiah 43, you see that this small remnant of Jewish people are now living in Egypt thinking, all is well. That's what they think. Ha, we made it. Woo! We made it. Pharaoh, take care of us. We'll be fine. God clearly told them, it's not going to go well if you go to Egypt, but they're there thinking all is well. While they're in Egypt, God gives Jeremiah a word for those living there and tells them again, because of their idolatry and disobedience to God, that they're going to be wiped out even in Egypt. And how's he going to do it? At the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. See the irony of that? God said, I will take care of you. I will protect you from Nebuchadnezzar, who just squashed Jerusalem, who just tore down its walls, who just tore down the temple of God. I will protect you from him. And when you read through all these chapters, they go to Egypt, and it's at the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, they will die. The irony of disobedience. Couple verses in 47, and I'll wrap, or 44, excuse me, and I'll wrap it all up. Jeremiah 44, 15. Then all the men who knew that their wives had burned incense, and you can read through that as you read through all of it. They got to Egypt, they start offering up their incense and their smoke to the Egyptian idols. I mean, Good heavens, they just saw what happened in Jerusalem because of idol worship. They go to Egypt and do the same thing. Then all the men who knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods, with all the women who stood by the great multitude, and all the people who dwelt in the land of Egypt in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, "As for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen. But we will certainly do whatever has gone out of our own mouth." Let me wrap it up, friends, in the next couple minutes. I know that some of what I have said in this series is not popular with people. I get that. I am simply and humbly asking us, you and I, people everywhere, to consider the same scenario. Is God trying to say something to us? And we're not listening either. Now I know some people are, and I'm so thankful that you're listening to the Lord and reading His Word and being led by the Spirit. But so much of what I see, read, and these statistics, these surveys show it, we're continuing to demand our ways. We're continuing to demand our rights, our agenda. We're continuing to say, "I'm going to Egypt." I'm simply trying to enlighten us. Is God saying something to us? Are we listening? Here's the deal for today. These people, and you can read about it this afternoon if you never have. This story is 3-4 chapters long. These people had seen the hand of God. They had seen the great city Jerusalem, that city set on a hill, destroyed, burned, temple, beautiful, beautiful temple of God, tore down. They had seen it in all of its glory. They had even taken it a step further. They had asked Jeremiah, "Inquire of God for us. Inquire of God for us and tell us what to do." And directly disobeyed. Why? Why? When I read through this, or when you read through it, why would anyone be so foolish? They wanted to do what they wanted to do. God had given them a directive. He's given us the directive. You must be born again. Surrender to the Spirit of God. Live by the Word of God. He's given us the directive. And we still want to go to Egypt. How many times is God going to give us the directive and show us grace, and offer us mercy, and offer to us salvation? And we blow it by insisting we do what we want to do. I read this and think, how foolish can they be? And I look, and I read, and I see what's happening in America in the church. And I ask, how foolish can we be when we've got the directive? We've set it on the shelf and said it's out of date. I don't like that part. Well, that's Old Testament. Well, that's for a different generation. We've set the directive on the shelf and said, I'll do it my way. We want to go to Egypt. Lip service. Tell us what God would have us to do, Jeremiah. Inquire of God, and then tell us what God would have us to do. We have what God would tell us to do. Tell us what God would have us to do, Jeremiah. And when the answer comes, I'm really not comfortable with that. I'm going to go ahead and do it my way. We want to go to Egypt. That is our human nature. That is our tendency. And throughout this entire series, I've simply been trying to alert us, if these statistics are anywhere near close, are we listening? Are we listening to the voice of God through the Word of God? I've said to us on numerous occasions, when they disobeyed God, He warned them. But when they disobeyed, it didn't go well. And I'm suggesting to us today in America and the church of the 21st century, when we are disobedient to the ways and the words of God, it will not go well. You say, Jim, we're under grace. We are under grace. And Jesus says, the one that said in Matthew 7:21, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, but didn't we do this and didn't we do that? And His response will be, I never knew you. Have we surrendered to Jesus? Have we surrendered to Jesus the Christ, the one who died for us, the one who loved us so He went to the cross for my sin and yours? Have we surrendered everything to Jesus? All to Jesus. I love that song. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His daily presence I will live. I love that song. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. Have you surrendered, people, to Jesus? God loves you. Jesus died for you. But if we haven't been born again, filled with and led by His Spirit, we're saying the same things that they said right here. I'll take Egypt. I'm simply and humbly asking us, are we listening to the voice of God? Surrender to Jesus, friends. We're going to close with this last song. He's calling us softly and tenderly. He's calling us. Have you surrendered to Jesus? If you don't know how or you're not sure, call Charles, call me. Send me an email, send us a text, send us a messenger, send us something. Have you surrendered? He's calling us to Him. We need to stop choosing our own way and start following Him.
As our time comes to a close, I couldn't help but think, as Pastor Jim was challenging us today, would you write this down? 1 Samuel 3, verse 9. Could we adopt these words of Eli to our prayer time this week? Eli and the young boy Samuel was hearing this voice, and Eli gave him this great advice. When you hear that voice, simply say, speak, for your servant is listening. Call out to God and just let Him just say, God, I'm listening. And see if your prayer life is a little more powerful this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to hear from You, but we want to ensure we're hearing Your voice. Our enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That word devour, totally annihilate. If he could wipe us out, he is trying so desperately to destroy everything about us. We need to hear from You. So, Father, as You speak, maybe it's not in voice, maybe it is in events that occur around us, maybe it's from an unlikely source that we would at first discredit. Speak to us. Your servants are listening. We want to hear the strong power of your voice this week. Help us to focus on what you're saying to us, to be holy as you are holy, to love what you love, to abhor what you hate, to be righteous, and to be your ambassadors, your example and your representatives here on this earth. Help us to be shining examples of Jesus, your Son, to love as you love, to serve as you have served us through your Son. May we be an inspiration as your Holy Spirit is to us, that we may enliven the hearts of others, that they too would seek salvation in your Son Jesus through repentance and forgiveness. Challenge us this week, Holy Spirit, to stop and listen more intently to what the Father is saying to us in our lives this week and forever. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.